Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Dear God, that you are God above all gods, oh God. We thank you, dear God, that we can come together and corporately worship you and corporately, dear God, build each other up with your word, oh God. I pray, dear God, that this word that I speak, dear God, that it would impact us. It would encourage us to go stronger and seek you even the more. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, in church, that's the only place where you hear people say the more, even the more, right? But today we're going to talk about stay the course. Everybody say stay the course. And as I was praying, I was just like, what should I talk about, Lord? What do you want me to talk about? He says, stay the course. So when we talk about stay the course, hey, I ain't even saying that yet. Chill out. But we actually were talking about a lot of things today in that Psalms 91. We had the Psalms medley, or the medley of Psalms. In Psalms 91, it says, if I want to stay in God, I must abide. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. So there are some things that are going to keep us on this course. Amen. And while I was praying, you know, sometimes people ask you, hey, how's everything going? And sometimes you don't have like a super exciting story to tell them. Oh, God, sometimes it's just like, hey, God has kept me. You know, or God, hey, man, thank God that I'm here today. And to some people, that's not a huge deal, but sometimes there may not be super exciting things that go on in your life, but you just still just say, hey, man, God is God. And I'm glad that I know who he is. Amen. And that can keep us during those times where you feel like, oh, it's a drought in your spiritual walk. How many know there's going to be times where it's going to be hard for you to hear from God? I look at as we get to get going on this series and this. Well, actually, I hope this ain't a series. I need to finish it this month. But as we get going on this sermon today, I'm pretty sure Father Abraham, when he left, there was times on a journey where he was like, man, it's not exciting. I'm just walking, God, like, where you want me to go? But he stayed on the course. And that is the key thing. Amen. Anybody watch Love It or List It? I know a lot of us watch that show. Love It or List It. Why do you like that show? They get to fix places up, or they get to get new places, right? Love It or List It, basically, it's a show for everybody that haven't seen it. It's a show that comes on HGTV, and there is a challenge. They have one person come in and fix your place, or they have somebody come in and give you a new place, right? Or it ain't a give. You're going to have to buy it. But most of them, a lot of the people actually buy the new place. Even though the old place gets fixed up, they want to go somewhere new. And why am I saying this? It's because a lot of times in your walk with God, there may not be a new thing that goes on. It's God is saying, hey, let me fix where you're at right now. And a lot of times we want to see, oh, hey, they got the new trend over there. Nope. God said, no, let me fix you first. Let me fix you up so that you can be able to impact these people over here. And a lot of times, and I'm going to say that the great thing about God, as it says in his word, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, it says, this is what God does. It says, behold, somebody say, behold, I will do a new thing. Now what shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So the great thing that God does when he does a new thing, it's going to blow people's minds. Anybody remember getting saved and some of your friends was like, yo, what happened to you? Right? Because it blew their mind. I actually have experienced some people that I've known, they got saved. They tell their friends that they received the Lord, and they're like, why did you do that? Why? Because they're like, man, I can't believe it. We used to go kicking. We used to go do this. But when God does a new thing, it says in the latter part of that scripture, it says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, somebody looks at road in the wilderness. Oh, that might be possible. But we don't see too many rivers in the desert, right? Why? Because they call it a desert for a reason. There's no water usually, but unless you know how to camel, you know, or you with a camel and he might find it in the cactuses or something. I don't know. Anything that starts with a C in the desert might have water, right? Nah, I'm just playing. But this is something that we must know, that God is going to do a new thing, and it's going to be within us. We should not always be looking for the new thing, because a lot of times I believe believers get so caught up in what's going on in the world that we lose sight of what God is trying to do. Amen. So, number one, we must know the course that we are on. All right. We've been bouncing, going back to a couple of different churches, so I was able to get some of their sermonettes and put it in here. It's been pretty good. But we must know the course that we're on. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. And when you got it, you can say word. 2 Peter 2. And we're going to go through 12 through 17. Now, this scripture talks about false teachers. And I'm going to say this. The only way that you won't stay on the course is if you don't know what the truth is. All right? That's why it's very important for us to know what the truth is. It says, verse 12 says, "But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things that they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetousness practices." I'm sorry, covetous. A lot of times you see covetous with covetousness. You see that in the Bible, so that's why I said that. "And are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way." Somebody say that they've forsaken the right way, "and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Now, why did I read this? Because these people, at one time, they knew the course that they were supposed to be on. It said that they had forsaken the way. How did they forsake the way? By going against what the word says. How do we know the way? We must know the course that we get on. We get saved. A lot of people don't know what they get saved from. Oh, you got saved. What does that mean? Oh, no, it was just sounded cool. Everybody else is doing it, right? But when you get saved, God has saved you from the world of sin. God has saved you from a world that is corrupt, that is literally out to, he saved you from the devil that is literally coming to destroy your life. The Bible says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God came that you might have life, and not only just life, but life in its abundance. Amen? Now, when we see this, we must know the course, because there's also, it said the caption of that scripture was false teachers. There's going to be people that preach false teachings in a way that we live. And some of them are not even pastors, right? I was reading on the internet, there's rappers that they preach something. Everybody preaches something, right? They might not have a pulpit. They might not get on a Sunday morning and say, "Hey, I'm a priestess," but the way that they live their life and the things they say, they have their own doctrines, which is their own beliefs and their own thoughts, and they're going to tell you those things, right? I was in the gym, and sometimes talk to different people. It's interesting what kind of stuff they say. Ask them, "Hey, what do you want to be in life?" Some people say, "Hey, man, I just want to make a lot of money. If I have a lot of money, I'll be cool." We actually just talked about, anybody heard about Jet Jackson, the actor, had a lot of money, ended up killing himself just recently this week. You know, and he's like 20, man, he might have been 24, 28 maybe. Okay, he's the same age as me, 29. Had a lot of money. You would think he's cool. He got the life. But he didn't. Something was missing, obviously. But some people say, hey, just give me his money. I'll be cool. You know, and you never know what goes on. But these are some of their doctrines. As long as I got the money, I'm good. As long as I got people working for me, I'll be fine. As long as I can do this or do that, I'll be all right. But we need to know what God's word says for us. Amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think I'm going to get through this today. Verse 1 through 9. Once again, if you don't know your course, you're not going to stay on the course. And I'm going to get to some scriptures that talk about the actual course that we need to stay on. But it says this. These are people, once again, we'll just read it. It says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. What's perilous mean? Anybody know? Because that might not be a word that we use today. Troubled times. Tough times. Right? It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Does that sound like today? Okay. I'm just trying to make sure we hear today. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. How many of you know there's people today that they despise people that do good? They're like, man, that's so dumb. Why you do that? Because God called me to do this. They get upset at people doing the right thing. You drive the speed limit, they might get mad at you for that. They're like, yo, go 90. It's like, man. I'm just doing the right thing. It says, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, this is key. If you want to stay on the course, you're going to have to love God more than any and everything out there. If you don't love God more than whatever comes into your life, more than anything you name, even some of the stuff that they had, money, vehicles, women. If I love God more than I love my wife, I can stay on the course. Now, how many of you know some of the wives in the Bible, they were like, get off the course. Job's wife was like, yo, you need to go somewhere else. Now, if Job loved his wife more than he loved God, he would have said, hey, okay, God, it's time for me to go, man. We had a cool relationship. Man, I just feel like our season is ended. You know, sometimes you have people that come in your life for a season. And God, you might have just been a seasonal guy. But he loved God even to the point of death. And some of the disciples did the same thing. They loved God. Not only did they do the same thing, they died to show their love for God. Now, we live in an age where people are dying for their faith. Because they love God more than they love the things of this world. They love God more than they even love life, this life that we have. And it's important if we want to stay on the course, this is what we have to do. Because how many of you know there's going to be different things that try to knock us off the course? Anybody seen hurdles? People run hurdles? There's going to be different hurdles that come in your life. If you don't know how to jump over that hurdle, you're going to trip and you're going to hurt yourself. Now, I don't advise anybody to go do hurdles if you haven't did it before. All right? Because I've never done hurdles. And they need to lower it for me because I don't know if I can do that right now. But spiritually, there's going to be hurdles that come in your life. You might lose your job. Now, some of us, we think our job is secure. Right? I've been working there for 8 years, 10 years. Some people worked there for 50 years. There was a story that happened a couple years ago where all the people's retirement was stocked up in this company, and the people at the top of the company said, we're going to take all that money and run. That was what they call securities, right? And it was taken from them. That's a hurdle in their life. Some of them killed themselves when that happened. Some of us all of us have to love God more than we love anything else in this world. It says, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. There's some people that look like they're believers. They look like it. They play the part well. We call hypocrites. Those are really actors, right? Hypocrites are actors. They can act the parts really well. But they don't. A lot of people don't acknowledge the power that God has. Just like my dad was talking about the story with the wine. Hey, how did God do that? They want to act godly, but they don't believe that God has power. But we know that our God is powerful. As we keep singing, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. There is no God like our God. And for us to stay on this course, we have to believe this. Because after a while, some of us, if we get hit a couple of times, we're like, hey, maybe Buddha is right. You know, let me go to Buddha. And some of us is like, man, he's crazy for saying that. But there's people that do that. Bounce gods. Like, they go to another god every other month. Oh, man, today feels like a Hindu god. Today feels like I should praise one of the million gods in India. This is how people think because they don't believe that their God is solid. I was taking my kids to a lunch program, and at the lunch program, there was a lady that said she was a Christian, and her husband was a Muslim. So, I just asked little things from her every other day. Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Okay. So would your husband go to church? I'm just asking random questions. She was like, yeah, but I'm thinking of converting to a Muslim because all of our gods are the same. See, right? Why? Because you didn't understand that your God is the most powerful God. And we always have to remember who he is. Amen? It says, and from such people turn away. So all the people that we listed, turn away. Now, this doesn't mean don't associate with these people, because the power that you have for living your life for God, as Pastor John has been talking about, the glory of God upon you can impact these people. So you have to be willing and ready to be an impactor and not be impacted. Amen. It says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Once again, the truth will set you free. Everybody say, the truth will set me free. A lot of us don't want the truth. I've heard people say the truth hurts, but it's only when you're running from truth. If you accept the truth, you're fine. If you accept the truth that, hey, I'm a sinner, I need God, it's not that difficult. But if you don't want to accept that Jesus Christ is the only way, you're trying to figure out a whole bunch of ways to maneuver and get rid of the guilt or the shame that you have in your life. But God has come to set us free from these things. Amen? It says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these people resist the truth. This is how come they can't stay on course, because they resist and fight the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproving concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will manifest to all as theirs also was. So what is it saying? These people will not continue on the course because they deny truth and they deny the word of God. Denying the word of God will keep you off course. We must know. Not only we must know our course, we must know our call. All right. Somebody said it today. My wife said it today, that the sheep know the voice of God and they will not turn to another. If we don't know who we are, we won't know the call that God has on our life. It's important that we understand the call that God has on our life. Some of us are still trying to find out what the call is that we have on our life. Number one, your call is to serve God. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're a bishop. I don't care if you just got saved. Your number one goal is to serve God. And the Bible says, how do we serve him? We love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And then we love our neighbors. This is part of the call. Then after that, some of our calls may be to be a minister. It may be to be an evangelist. But we all have a call on our life that God has placed on us. And really, if you don't spend time with God, you're not going to know that specific call that God has on your life. Spending time with God in prayer. There's times where God has clearly told me things. He's even given me visions on, hey, Marquise, you're going to be able to impact the young people in your generation. I've heard even pastors and ministers prophesy over me. Hey, you're going to impact people in your generation. So me, I have to be obedient to that call. There's going to be times where I'm going to have to say, hey, you guys are going to do, nah, man, I got to get in my word, man. I got to pray. I have to spend time with the Lord. Why? Because that's a call that I have on my life. When we hear the word call, that's something that I must complete. That's part of my course. Amen. And there's a course that you have. Everybody is not going to be on the same course that you're going to be on. Some people don't even know why you're on that course. Right? Some people are going to say, man, come on, Marquise, you're not supposed to be a pastor, bro. Why don't you just get a good job? Why don't you go do something? Well, you're not God. God called me for this. And a lot of times what we got to understand, we may not even feel qualified. But as we know, the church always says God qualifies those he calls. Amen. Moses wasn't, and we can back it up with scripture. Moses wasn't the best speaker, but he spoke to the biggest and best nation and got his people out of there. God qualified him. Joseph was a slave in Egypt. He was a slave. He got thrown in jail for a couple years. They forgot about him. It was like, hey, look, I'm going to interpret this dream, but don't forget about me. And the dude forget about him for a couple years. And then he was like, the king was like, he had a dream. Oh, yeah, but God had a call on his life. And despite even his brothers, despite the system, the Egyptian system that tried to hold him down, God qualified him and brought him up to the front. I got a friend, man. He was it's good having godly friends. One of my good friends we talk about every day. His name is Iman, man, and he just shared his testimony with me. He was like, man, the position that I'm at in my job, it requires a bachelor's degree. And he's like, I didn't go to college not 1 year in my life. And he was telling me during a recession, they started laying people left and right. They started laying them off. And he was shaking in his boots. That's what he told me. He was like, man, my job might be gone. Do you know that the lady at the place said, hey, do you want to be a permanent here? I can set you up permanently so you could be in this position. And God allowed him to be in this position, even though in this system, he wasn't qualified. But that's the favor of God. Amen. And we have to remember that God is the one that's going to qualify us. This does not mean that you just don't do anything, though. You have to embrace the call that God has on your life. You have to accept it and say, okay, God, I'm a preach. I can't remember the first time, but I've been preaching since high school. And my teacher, even my principal, you remember Mrs. Hammer? She was like, hey, come up, man. I want you to preach. And I was like, wow, okay. I'm going to go do it. It wasn't like, man, what am I going to do? No, I'm going to answer the call that God has in our life. Some of us got to answer it. Amen. If you're supposed to be a prayer warrior, you're supposed to be praying even at home. But these people didn't stay on course because they didn't know the course and they didn't know their call. John 17, verse 20. Let's go there. John chapter 17, verse 20. And we're going to go to the end of the chapter. Knowing the call requires us to know our God. And the great thing about our God is that, do you know that Jesus is up in heaven praying for us right now? You guys know that? He's up in heaven praying for Michael, Monica, Grandma, Precious, Mariana, Markayla, Marquise, Harold, and Annis, and Hannah. He's praying for, and myself. He's praying for all of us right now. Now, that's interesting. Some of us don't think of that Jesus is up there praying for us, but he is. The Bible says he intercedes at the right hand of the Father, and this prayer that he is doing, I mean, just imagine that. He's up in heaven saying, hey, God, I'm excited about them people down there. I mean, because prayer is nothing but talking to God, right? He's like, I'm excited about what we have planned for Precious's life. I'm excited what he has planned for Hannah's life. Like, that's how Jesus is up in heaven. He's excited about what he has for you guys. And if we don't embrace the call, he's like, God, help them get it. God, can you help them? Why? Because he wants his glory to be seen through you. It says here, it says, I do not pray for these alone. And when he said these alone, he was talking about the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And that's the word the disciples share, that they may all be one. Somebody say one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Somebody say, given them. This is what Pastor John has been talking about. The glory. Jesus had a certain glory that was on his life. Not only did he have a certain glory, he had the glory. Amen. And it says right here that he gave it to all those that will believe in him. I always tripped out when this happened to me. I used to go to a certain bank. And every time I go to this bank, the banker, the manager of the bank would be like, man, Marquise, you're here. And I'm like, dang, this dude smiling. He just loving when I come in. One day he pulled me to the side. And he was like, man, do you know when you come in, you change my day? And when he said that, I was like, oh, that's crazy. I was like, I haven't did nothing special. I might even just said hello. But the glory of God was on my life so much that he saw it. Now, he was a believer in the Lord, and he just saw the glory of God in my life. And then when he said that, it was just like, wow, with me being obedient to God, even in small things, in my integrity, in my character, me being obedient to God is going to allow people to know that I'm a believer in him, and they can see Jesus in me. And that should be all of our prayers, that they see Jesus in us. Amen. And I know I'm not the only one that has had an experience like that where somebody sees you and they're like, man, there's something different about you. That's because they can see God in you. Amen. Another story, while we were doing ministry outside the clubs, there was a lot of people that would come and they would get lost and they couldn't find people they were with. And they were like, hey, we only came here because we feel peace right here. You know, they were like, hey, I don't feel peace anywhere else, but when I'm with you guys, I feel peace. And I said, that's because the anointing of God is here. And when people see that on you, they can sense it. Amen. And we have to want that in our life, the glory of God. And that's only by being obedient do we have that. It says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that you may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. This is part of our call, to walk in the glory of God and to walk in oneness with God. What does one mean? That means in one accord with God. It says, Jesus is in him. And really, we got to remember that Jesus is the what? The way, the truth, the light. I mean, hey, if I say what, we can name a whole bunch of stuff. But Jesus is the word. Amen. If Jesus is the word, we need to be one with the word. This is what we're supposed to become. I always talk about the word of God. We're supposed to become the word of God. We're supposed to live out the word of God. We're supposed to mirror the word of God. Amen. It says, verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I've declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. So we see another thing. Part of our call is to love like Jesus loved. Amen. And this is brief things. Let me keep on going, though, because my time is slipping away already. It says, let's go to 1 Timothy 4, chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 4, 12. This is progress in God. Everybody say progress. It says, let no one despise your youth. Now, a lot of times people use this for young people, right? But let me say, maybe you've just got saved. Or let's say maybe you don't know as much as somebody else knows, right? So let's change this word for a second and say, let no one despise your noviceness, all right? Because novice means you're new to it, right? But be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how much you know, this is part of the call that we must profess. Amen? You paying attention, Mike? It says, but be examples even to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, some people think I'm going to say this. Forget what some people think. You have to work this thing. Amen? If I'm going to be an example, somebody has to see what I'm doing. Amen? You know, God didn't save us for us to go and find a nice little hole and crawl in so we could just be away from this world. God saved us so that we can be examples. Not only, and the interesting thing about this is, it's not saying to the people in the world, it's saying to believers. Believers must know, hey, man, okay, hey, yo, bro, that guy's conduct, he keeps it together. This is how we must be. It says, verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Somebody say entirely. That your progress may be evident to all. Now, we're talking about staying on the course. How do we stay on the course? It's by meditating on these things, giving yourself fully to the word of God. When you say fully to something, that means that I'm not giving myself to anything else. There's a lot of false teaching going on, especially in I ain't gonna say especially, but I've noticed some going on in they call it black Hebrews. Anybody heard of that stuff? Black Hebrews are people that they think they're the lost tribe of Israel. Somehow they're the ones that got on ships because black slaves went, you know, they muster up a whole bunch of stuff to try to prove that they're an Israelite, which they really can't even prove. But what they say is, because I'm an Israelite, I'm grafted in. I'm walking in this way. So now they try to do all the laws that were written in the Old Testament to try to prove that they're Christians or whatever they want to call themselves. But we know that doctrine didn't come from God's word. Amen. Because we know that God has allowed us as Gentiles to be grafted in. So and we know that we cannot keep the law because we broke the law already. And by breaking the law, we needed a savior. Amen. But this is just one of the things that happened. There's some people, they might come up and say, hey, well, I don't believe the Bible when it says that you must do this. We'll say, hey, I can't get with that. If you don't believe the Bible, that's what I believe. As soon as you say something that doesn't line up with the word of God, because I know the word of God, that's key to staying on the course, knowing the word of God. I love my grandma. I've been watching her as she's been out here this year. And every place we go, somebody says a scripture. She finishes the scripture. Right? But that comes from knowing the word of God. Now, if I look at a scripture and I start twisting the scripture and it says, let everybody despise you because you're young. Somebody will be like, yo, what's wrong with Marquise? That scripture. Somebody should be like, yo, that's not in the Bible. Amen. I've had dreams where pastors were preaching something wrong and I stand up and say, hey, that's not in the Bible. And they kicked me out. And I was shocked, right? Like, wow. But that wasn't in the Bible. Somebody has to stand up and say, that's not what the word of God says. Amen. It says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. And it's not only just reading the word. It talked about reading. It talked about exhortation. That's building each other up in the most holy faith. Amen. It talked about doctrine. What do you really believe? You need to know what you believe, because the devil right now is trying to give you disbelief. The devil serves disbelief for lunch every day. He's trying to put doubt in your head, but you have to believe. Amen. It said, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Now, a lot of us today, we just forget about the gifts of God. But see, these gifts that God has given are so important to us as believers, because not only does this gift help me, it helps the fellow believers. And when we see this, this is really how we should act amongst brothers and sisters. There's some people, when you start speaking in tongues, some people are like, man, what is he doing? That's a gift that God has given. We talk about gift of prophecy, gift of laying on hands and miracles. All of these things must be evident to see growth in our life. Amen. And the last verse in here says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Somebody say continue. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And I'm going to talk to you about this. Staying on the course, one of the things that keeps you excited is when you see unbelievers come to God. I'll tell you this, man. When we see people come to the Lord, that just gets us rejuvenated. It makes you almost feel like you just got born again because somebody else got born again. Amen? Just imagine, it's kind of like this. We love football in here. Everybody. We all love football. Now, when somebody gets hit in football and they get hit hard, we're like, woo, did you see that? We might rewind the tape a couple times. Dang, did you see? Hey, he got lit up. He might even be there's a certain thing that they have before Monday night. Jacked up. It used to be called jacked up, but what's it called, man? I can't remember. Anyway. Come on, man. That's what it's called now. It's come on, man. You might get hit and whoa, come on, man. You got hit like that? I remember I got blasted and my dad yelled at me after I got blasted. I was like, man, I already got hit. I don't need to get hit again. But he was trying to tell me not to get hit like that. But anyway, what I'm saying is that excitement. I remember playing football, and this will make me want to go play right now. When I hit people and laid some people out, it was one of the most exciting things because it was just a powerful hit. You see them come in and you, whoa, light them up. I left a couple people out there. We was waiting 5 minutes for them to get off the field. But it was exciting. That's the same thing when somebody gets saved. It's like that they got hit by the word of God. They got impacted by something that you may have been preaching or something that was in the word of God, and now they're believers and they're following. That's the stuff that gets you excited on this course. Because remember, I said sometimes we may not see too many people get saved. We might not see somebody get saved, but we need to always be excited about what God has done in our life. Amen. I remember this is going to be the last story I share, and I end up finishing this another day. But we had this Bible study that I do over the phone on Thursdays. And this Thursday, I was like, man, I didn't go to work. I was tired. I was like, I don't want to do the Bible study today. And Precious was like, he probably told me to do it. Go ahead, do it. You know how Precious is. She's just precious. So she was like, go ahead, do it. So I was like, all right. So I text all the brothers. I get in, and at the end of the Bible study, I was just like, man, I just want you guys to know you guys encourage me. You know, sometimes the minister, when he's ministering, it doesn't only encourage the people. Sometimes the reactions of the people encourage him as well. And we got to know that. This is why it's important to come to church. Some of us think coming to church is just optional. Do you know that you coming to church actually impacts the minister? Excuse me. It actually impacts other people that are around, and that's why we have church. We come together to exhort each other. We come together to build each other up in the most holy faith. Amen? So as we stay on this course, let us stand up. We're going to go out. I'm ending on time, And I actually been ending on time probably for the last 2-3 years. You know, I had it, the first couple of times I was a little long with it because I didn't know what time church was over. But now I know. Dear God, I just thank you, dear God, for your word, oh God. We pray, dear God, that your spirit would lead us, oh God, in direction. Dear God, as we follow the course that you've laid out for us, oh God, I come against the roadblocks, dear God, the hazards that are trying to keep us from following you, dear God, the fears even, dear God, the different things that we have allowed in our life. Oh God, help us to purge those things out so that we can fully follow you, Jesus. Dear God, we want to just pray to God that you would just impact those around us. Oh God, we want to see people's lives impacted and changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody say, amen. All right.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.